The way this is going to work is the way the title of the sermon is Jesus Is. And I didn't make a list, but I need you. This is also kind of a quiz. Have you been paying attention over the last 11 years? So you should be able to come up with some things about Jesus. So I need you to tell me what Jesus is, what he's talked about in the Bible, what he, just whatever. Okay? Jesus is the Word. And that's more than just meaning the Word. That means that he is the expression of God. So when we say the Word, we're meaning he's more than just the Word. He is the expression of God. So would you let me write the word expression? If I can, I can spell word. Anyone else? What? We'll put the word peace. Anyone else?
Savior.
Savior. I-O-U-R. That's the English spelling. That's King James 1611. Anyone else?
Rock.
That doesn't mean he's a wrestler. Anyone else?
Lamb.
Lamb, lion. Anyone else?
God.
What? King of Kings, God incarnate.
Light.
Come on, this site's not working so hard.
Brother.
Huh?
Technically a brother.
Brother. Son of God. Anyone else?
Son of man.
Master.
Counselor. Who?
Patient.
Yeah, dot, 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 dot. Can't spell that word either. And yours was?
The great I am.
I am. Truth. Life. Sacrifice way. Who? He's the priest.
Lord.
We'll put that all in capitals. A kinsman redeemer. Could we keep it to one word from now on? Kinsman redeemer. Anybody else? If you keep going, we get to flip the board. One more. Teacher. Friend.
Bread.
That's done.
Oh.
Friend.
Water.
Anybody? Who?
Advocate.
Healer. Have we ever talked about Kinsman Redeemer here at the church? He is Creator.
Shepherd.
Messiah, Alpha Omega.
Righteous.
King. Good one. That's Jehovah, by the way.
Vine.
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 We might. We got a new whiteboard, by the way, down in the basement. Anyone else?
Rose of Sharon, Bright Morning Star. Is that biblical or is that just in our song?
It's a biblical. Bright. Morning Star, Rose of Sharon.
L-I-F-E.
Is it? Life is there. Light's there. Advocate. Sorry there. Who? What? Okay. Anyone else?
Did we say the seed of Abraham?
No. We're going to be here a long time because we've got to define every one of these terms. I told you. You should have just scratched yourself. Oh no! Our preacher never tells us anything. Well, here you're going to be. Pack a lunch, folks. Who?
Judge.
Judge. Somebody say Sherpa?
No.
That's a mountain climber. Who? It's on there.
Deliverer.
Deliverer.
Door.
Or some of you is cheating and looking up in the back of your Bible.
Counsel.
I'll put counselor, that way we get all that together. I didn't spell it right, I know it. Anybody else? Going.
Second Adam.
Truth.
Did somebody say cognitive?
Anyone else?
Life.
L-I-F-E?
Authority.
It's on there. L-I-T-E-L-I-G-H-T. They're both on there. Variant spellings.
Gate.
Who?
Gate.
Stumbling block.
Ooh.
Stumbling block. Cornerstone. Avenger. Ooh, I like that one. Avenger. Almighty.
Mercy.
Seed of David. Well, now you know why I don't run out of things to preach about. We could do one of those a week and come up with a lot of stuff. Okay, I just needed that. Now, we're going to actually do what it says to say. We're going to be reading 1 John chapter 4, verse 7 through 21. Chapter 4, verse 7 through 21. And this is all about love, and I do want to comment on some of this stuff. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. Everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. In this it was brought to light that the love of God toward us, because he sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be a propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man hath seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwells in us, and his love is perfected in us. That means brought to a level of maturity. Hereby know that we dwell in him, and he is in us, because he hath given us his Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. And we have known and believe that the love of God to us... I'll start that one again. And we have known and believe the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he dwelleth in love. He who dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect. Once again, the maturity thing, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear is torment. And he that feareth not is made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. If a man say, I love God and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God loves his brother also. That's just a whole lot of love going on there. And a lot of people, I just want to point this out real briefly, that a lot of people say, well, I don't love my brother enough, therefore there's something wrong, I might not be saved. That's not what that said. If you pay real close attention, oh gee, I lost my place on that one. It says, whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. Okay? The sign of salvation is not the amount of love that we have toward the brethren or toward God. The sign, the only sign that we can say, well, he's made that profession of faith, whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. Now, all the love stuff that it's being talked about there is not a sign of our salvation so much as it's the proof of our growing maturity in Christ is the way it's driving. If we have God, we're going to start showing the love of God greater and in better and in deeper and richer and fuller ways as we grow in God, and that love of God or the Spirit of God comes more influential in our lives. We will show forth the love of God more and more. So once again, the proof, the foundation of Christianity is not that we love. That is the proof that we have made a proper confession that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and we believe in him because God loved him and made him the propitiation or the sacrifice. He came that we might have love. A lot of people say, here's just another take on this whole thing, is people say, well, I know I'm in Christ and God loves me, but I am a sinner in Christ. And preachers try to lay that guilt on you. They laid it on me for years. You're in Christ, and you're a sinner, and you're a sinner in Christ. When you went into Christ, you should give up that notion. Remember, he loved you. While you were a sinner, he loved you. Now that you're in Christ, and Christ took the wrath of God upon himself, now that's all that's left toward those people who are in Christ is the love of God, and we don't have to say, I'm just a sinner. Emphasis on the sinner so we feel bad and guilty. We are from now on always to say, I am in Christ. I am the beloved of God. I am the one that God loved so much while I was still a reprobate, while I was still in that position, he loved me so much. Therefore, I am a sinner, but I am loved by God. And we need to put the emphasis on the fact that God loves us more than on the fact that we were a sinner saved by grace. Yes, that's how we got started, a sinner, and we did get saved by grace, but we need to come to the place where we're saying, I am loved of God. Loved, 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 loved. God likes me. I was talking to somebody about this the other day. Oh, if you didn't know, Doyle has a cat. I like my cat, but it's a cat. My cat bites me. My cat jumps on me and claws me. And in the middle of the night, he tries to suck the breath right out of me at times. I find him dancing on my head. I find him biting my toes. And these are his good qualities. And from there, it just... I like my cat, okay? Because my cat does something that I don't like, I don't grab the cat now, you know, because that's my cat. Oh, here's my cat. My cat's named Steve. Steve Guy Mooney. Three names. Steve Guy Mooney. This is my cat. I like my cat. Ow. Ooh, don't. Ooh. I found a spritzer works really, really well. Anyway, a cat does not like water. But when the cat bites my toes, I don't jump up all at once and yell, "I'm going to throw you into the fire!" and roast the cat. It's a cat. If you have cat, you can expect cat to do certain things, to act like a cat. But we still like the cat. I hope that someday the cat will learn. I hope that the cat will calm down. And if I have my way, and yes, I believe, based on this fact, heaven is a wonderful place, and God said He would give us the desires of our heart. I think that if you had a pet that you really liked and you want it to be with you, what is the problem with your cat, your dog, your horse, your pet chicken, your guppies or whatever being there with you? I don't have a problem with that. Some people do. I saw, did you guys see that church bulletin thing, the two churches that was fighting over that? There's a Catholic church and a hardcore Presbyterian. The Catholic church on the front of their church, it said, "All dogs go to heaven." The Presbyterians then put up on theirs, "Read your Bible, dogs don't go to heaven." It said something to the effect like, "All Catholic dogs go to heaven. Presbyterian dogs need to talk to their pastors." So the Presbyterians put up a sign that said, "Read your Bibles. Animals do not have souls. They don't go to heaven." And then it said something to the effect of, "Just because you convert will not give your dog a soul." The Catholics put up, "With every conversion, one free dog soul." They put up something to the effect of, "This will not happen, and there are no rocks in heaven either." The Catholic put on their sign, "All rocks go to heaven." I hate to say it, but the Catholics were winning that argument as far as I'm concerned, and probably as publicity, they won the argument also. But if based on that, that God likes us and He wants us to have the desires of our heart and we like our pets and our animals, He created them in the beginning and He said it is good when He made the dogs, the cats, the cattle on the thousand hill and everything else, He said it is good. Therefore, I don't see that He would have a problem with them. Obviously, He was an animal lover or He wouldn't have made them. The whole point is because my cat acts like a cat doesn't mean I'm going to kill the cat. Because I am now redeemed, we talked about the wrath of God last week, but because now I am redeemed, God is in the position that He realizes Doyle's a sinner. I will work with him, I will train him, but because he does something wrong doesn't mean that I immediately am going to pitch him into the pits of hell. He trusted my son. My son took his place, took his judgment. Therefore, I realize what he is, how he is, and I will work with him starting at that point. Have you ever tried to teach cat to fetch? That's like trying to teach some of us not to commit certain sins. But he keeps trying and keeps working with us, and someday we will reach that level of perfection, if no other way than when he comes back with the shout of the archangel and he picks us up, takes us with him, and he says, "Now I'm going to wipe all that out of your nature completely, give you a whole new body, the old flesh is gone, the whole new body is there, and now you have a different attitude and you understand why I was trying to lead you in not to doing the things that you were doing." Does this all make sense so far? Or did I lose you on the cat? So the point that I was trying to make there is that we don't have to love perfectly, because that word perfect means mature. We should always be growing where we understand better and better that God, yes, He even likes those rotters out there, those people that we would like to just pinch their little heads off, spit down their throats, and put their head back on and then tell God they died of a fit. He loves those people too. And as we come to understand that at one point we were one of those people, that there were people out there who wanted to pinch our little heads off, then we can start saying, well, he showed us a lot of grace and a lot of mercy. Let's be graceful and merciful to them. And let us be led by God to properly lead us on how to teach them and how to lead them and how to confront them if necessary. I'm saying all that to get to this point. I could give you a book, books, plural, Bibles, commentaries, some that have sidebars, and they tell you all this stuff and it is all true, but there is one statement in there that not one commentary touches. They don't know how to deal with it because it is so awesome. They cannot accept that it is true. They're always trying to find a way of weaseling because they can't just say, that's what it says. God says what he means. He means what he says. Some of this stuff will take a little clarification, but this is exactly what it says. Herein is our love made mature, that we may have the boldness in the day of judgment. Because as he is, so are we in this world. Right now, in this world, you are as he is. You are a creator. You have the ability to bring creation. Not say, let there be light, unless you're standing by a light switch. But you have the ability to think about something that nobody else has thought and write that poem, breed that posy or pansy or flower. You have the ability to work with your environment to try to bring about something new. You are a shepherd. You can lead and guide other people and bring them into a relationship with Jesus Christ. The word Messiah just means somebody who is sent and anointed of God. You are anointed of God, believe it or not. You are in Christ and you are anointed. You are picked by God to do certain things in your life, and by golly, you will achieve them because he is sovereign. You are a Messiah. Not in the word of the Messiah, which is Jesus Christ, but you are in him and you are, and the word Messiah just means anointed. You are anointed to do certain jobs and tasks in your life. And you are to trust him to get those things done. You are righteous. You are a branch. Yes, you're related. Jesus says, I am the vine and you are the branches. You will bring forth fruit. He didn't ask you, would you think about it? Would you strive? He said, if you are in me, if you are one of mine and you are a branch and I am the vine, you will bring forth fruit. It goes right on down to your God's, I don't want to say your God on earth. God dwells in you and you are his representative. You are the bright morning star. You are the light of this world. You're the salt of this world. You are the door. You're the one that leads people to Jesus Christ and opens up the way. You're the counselor. You're the one that sits down and talks to these people and says, I have got so many problems in my life. And you say, God, help me. Sit down and let's talk about it. You are a counselor. You are the righteousness. You're the seed of Abraham. By faith, we are all children of Abraham because Abraham was saved by grace through faith. He was declared righteous when he believed what God said. He says, as Jesus is, we are. It didn't say we would feel that way. It didn't even say we would act that way. What it does say is we are that way, whether we like it or not. Is that a tough one? And commentaries do not touch this because they don't know how to deal with it and they won't let it just say what it says. They won't say things like, you are the peace in this world. You're the ones that are supposed to be breaking up the fights and say, let's talk about it. You're the word. You're the one that's expressing. You're the only Bible, the only epistle that some people read. You're the bread. You're the friend. You're the one that brings the water, the salvation, and out of their inmost beings shall flow rivers of living water. You're the healer. You're there with them, binding up their wounds emotionally, physically sometimes. Everything that Jesus Christ is that's in your mind and you think how great He is, you are a Christian, which just means a little Christ. It doesn't say you're perfect, but as He is, so are you right now. You are peace, whether you feel it or not. You are it. And as we accept that and say, as He is, so am I, and we let that settle into us, then it will start coming out of us. It's not a thing that we have to work up, grit our teeth and do. It's just a thing that we have to let happen and say, as He is, so am I. The branches do not work and force fruit to come forth. The branch, all it does is just hook up to the vine and just hangs there with it. And the next thing you know, it's putting forth fruit. And it's not up to you to say, oh, I've got to prune myself. The branch doesn't say, oh, excuse me, vine, I'm going to go get some pruning shears and I'm going to prune off parts of me that's not being fruitful. The branch, all it does is just hang there with the vine, holding on to the vine, letting the life sap of the vine run through it, standing there, and the God says, you know, you need a little pruning. Let God do the pruning. Snip, 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 snip. Sometimes it's a little drastic. Ow! That hurt. It'll be all right. Just keep hanging right there with that vine. Because as long as you're hanging and that sap from Him is flowing through you, you will be fruitful whether you feel like it or not. As He is, you are. As He is, you are. It's absolutely amazing. It's a concept that we need to think about. We need to meditate on. We are the righteousness of Jesus Christ. We are the beloved of God. We are the light of this world. We are the source of water, of blessings on this. We are what preserves this place from falling completely apart. We are the thing that God is using to lift all of civilization higher and higher. We are the people who are not afraid of the future that's coming toward us, because God said only good things are coming towards you, and when bad things happen, I'll make them good eventually. As He is, so are we. You know what He's doing right now? Jesus is sitting. That's it. Jesus is sitting. Jesus is sitting at the right hand of the Father. As He is, that's how we are, and that's how we're supposed to be. Sitting, relaxing, and enjoying the presence of God. Who is putting the enemies of Jesus under His feet as a footstool? Jesus? No. Jesus, the Bible says, God said, come up here, sit down till I make your enemies your footstools. Your footstool. Jesus is in a position of absolute peace and rest and relaxation, waiting for God to do what He accomplished. And that's where we're to be. As Jesus is resting, we are to be too. You remember the rules of interpretation are the first usage. You find a word that you're wanting to study, go back to the first time it's used in the Scripture. Read it there. Read it in context. Study it and try to understand how was it used, and use that as a guidepost, a compass for divining the rest of the word, the rest of the time it's used in the Scripture. The first time grace is ever used. Grace means favor. He does it just because He likes you. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. I was always like, okay, that's the first time Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Woohoo! Do you know what the word Noah is? Do you know what his name would translate if they had put it into English? Rest. Rest found grace. Work didn't find grace. Rest found grace in the eyes of the Lord. When Adam and Eve were created, what was the first thing they did? Created on day 6. Day 7 was a day of rest. The first thing they did was rest. Jesus Christ is the new creation. He rose from the dead. What's the first thing He did? Ascended, and God said, sit down, have a rest. If we believe in Jesus Christ, what's the first thing we're supposed to do as the new creation? Sit down and have a rest, as Adam did. Jesus is doing. Adam was the first Adam. Jesus is the second Adam. Adam was created, rested. Adam fell asleep. God took from his side a rib and made Eve. Jesus Christ is the second Adam. When he went to sleep, there was a spear hole in his side. Out of that blood and water came the redemption of all mankind who are willing to believe upon him, and we become the bride of Christ, just like Eve became Adam's bride. The church becomes the bride of Jesus Christ. What did Adam and Eve do? They rested. They enjoyed the presence of God. God's the one that produced the fruit. And they hung out with God, and that's about all they got done for a long, long time. That's the way we're supposed to be. As Jesus is, so are we. We are to be in that place of finding grace, which is Noah found grace, rest found grace. We are to be going. God's going to take care of it. The Bible says very plainly, the just shall live by faith. We are always taught, we are saved by faith. And we agree with that, and that is absolute truth. But do you realize that we are to be living by faith exactly the same way? Every day saying, God, I'm trusting you to get me through this. I'm trusting you to help me. I'm trusting you to lead me. I don't even work anymore. I have an occupation. I work. No, I have an occupation. The Bible tells me not to work. It tells me to occupy myself till He comes. My occupation is doing two things. I go to the grocery store for a while and then I come over here for a while. That's what I do to occupy myself with until He comes. I gave up working. Working is a hard thing and it's just a terrible taskmaster. Did you know Americans are notorious for this, making lots of money but not becoming any happier through their life? And that's a shame. We should work on striving a little more for some more happiness and a little less cash, folks. We are to be resting in Jesus Christ as He is, so are we. As He is, so are we. We are to be resting and trusting God, and we're to be saying every day, I believe in You. I walk by faith. Instead, we say, God, You save me, and I'll work till Jesus comes. I'll work, 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 work. And I'm unhappy and I'm miserable when we should be saying, I'm going to be just like Your Son. I'm going to pull up a chair. And I'm going to rest. I've got things to do that will occupy my time till You get back, Jesus. If there's something You want me to do, Holy Spirit, lead me, prompt me. I'd be glad to do that. But I'm going to be resting and trusting in You.